Hello, Stripper Whisperers. This is Corey Michaelis with my stand-up comedy tour dates. Fast forward 30 seconds twice and rewind 15 seconds once if you're not interested. This weekend, I'll be at Club Comedy in Seattle, April 20th through the 22nd. April 29th, my show in Everett with Jackie Fabulous. May 19th, my show in Everett with Rocky Dale Davis. Before that, May 8th through the 14th, I'll be in Vegas at LA Comedy Club in the Strat. Check me out live and check out this episode with fellow stand-up comedian and porn star Sylvia Sage. Well, not fellow porn star. She's a porn star. I'm not a porn star. You get it. Hello and welcome to Stripper Whisper, the podcast where we get behind the G-string and interview strippers and sex workers about their lives outside the work, what it's like doing the work, and how we can all be good customers in their space. I am Corey Michaelis.
And I'm Nikki.
And today we are interviewing Sylvia Sage from Los Angeles. Say hey, Sylvia.
Hello, hello. Thanks for joining us.
Yes. Yeah. Very exciting. It's been a long time in the making, so this is great. We're here and this is great to listen, obviously, but the episodes are also by video on YouTube and our Patreon page, so you can check them out there. And you can also check out Sylvia on Instagram at the Sylvia Sage if you'd like to put a face to the voice. And she shows a little more than her face. And if you want to see even more, just subscribe to her OnlyFans, Sylvia Sage XXX, or TikTok Sylvia Sage 3, or Twitter Sylvia Sage XXX also, but she probably won't see anything you do there. And
OnlyFans is best. Hit the only subscribe.
That's the one, that money, right?
Yeah, exactly.
My friend, I mean, I'll tell this real quick. My friend, she was like, I want to try start an OnlyFans. Corey, can you help me? And I was like, oh, I don't know why you're asking me, but okay. But I have one story that I tell in my act about someone sending me a lot of money for a gay guy sending me money for my dick. So a picture of it.
It was a payment process, actually, right?
It was. It took him installments, which I felt bad about, to be honest. I thought he had the money. Like, I didn't know. I didn't know I was fleecing this guy for a dumb.
Who knows? Maybe in his mind, he was building up to it. Maybe he had the money and he was just like, you know what? Let me really build that anticipation, you know?
And he had a longer time of talking to you. So it was like an excuse to keep talking to you as he owed you that time.
Oh, wait a second.
No, he actually got you, Corey.
You're onto something, because I did feel badly because he would send like money and I was holding the photo until I got it all. And so I just like sent him just like a one of me in the shower that was kind of like, like the cloudy, like the cloudy,
the old steam glass.
He got more out of you.
He did, because I was like, sorry, here's this to tide you over or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. So really,
meanwhile, he had the money. Yeah.
He was fleecing me. Oh my God. I just figured this out. And he, and then he would like send dirty mess, like really dirty messages. And I'm like, I think I'm just sexting with a gay guy now. Like, I don't think.
Yeah.
What happened?
Wait a second. Yeah. Okay. So how do you respond in that situation? Obviously, you state that you are not gay, but do you give in a little bit? Do you say, I'll take your dick pic as well, just to make this fair? Well,
we're going to have to ask. We'll get to this. We're going to ask Sylvie all this, because I'll tell you what I did when we get there. But because I want to know, I am curious. That's a very good question of how women do that acting without the fear of like, the guy thinking you're being, because there's a little bit more of an assumption with you probably that this is an act, but like me, I'm just some comic that sent a guy his dick. I mean, like, if I start replying like, yeah, I want to eat your ass, he's gonna be like, oh, maybe he does, maybe he's gay. Know I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is a totally different world for you and I mean, I'm also just a comic, but I'm also a comic who is also a professional porn actress, so I definitely think when they are talking to me, especially like on an OnlyFans situation, they are definitely like, oh, this is my fantasy. It will never happen. Because I even find like I sell Skype sessions so they can talk to me like this, just via, web, whatever. And even when I get in those situations with them, they go blank. Like they have no words for me, even though they've been chit-chatting online with me for years. They get in front of me and they're like,
yeah, it becomes too real.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh no, wait.
Yeah. And I'm like, you don't have to say anything. I can just talk if you want, you know, like, but it's a totally different scenario. I am a fantasy. So when I become a real person, they don't know how to handle that. But yeah. You, on the other hand, this guy's like
very accessible.
This guy's a little foolish, you know.
He's gonna show up to the comedy club every Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. This guy really needs my $40 installment payments every week.
Right.
On the line. Yeah.
He literally has jokes about how little he makes in stand-up. So
Meanwhile, I have jokes about how wealthy I am all the time. So people
exactly.
are like,
me.
She's mine.
That's funny. Well, I started that because it was saying Twitter is like, Twitter's a free for all. It's like,
oh, yeah.
There's no restrictions at all with regard to porn.
Yeah, I can't do much with Twitter anymore. For one, that people are just putting up free content all the time, which bothers me. And they're putting up my free content, which really pisses me off. I don't mind promoting scenes for companies because that I will still retweet out. But anytime it's hardcore sex, even photos, I'm like, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've established a price point on it and then the price point just gets trampled over, then you're like, well, wait a second. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. I just find Twitter very overwhelming and it doesn't lead to an income stream for me. So like say with TikTok or Instagram, something like that, that actually converts numbers into my OnlyFans. So TikTok and Instagram take a lot of my time. I put a lot of dedication into those platforms, but yeah, Twitter, I can take or leave any day of the week. I'm ready for it to just close down.
Well, and my friend, like I don't know. You're going to have to like just read some articles and stuff on this. But like, I do know for sure you need to get socials that match. And I was like, Twitter, if you want, it's all, you know, free there. And you can really that. And then you can push people to your OnlyFans. And she ended up getting like 10,000 followers on Twitter, but she's exhausted because she's like, she got it in like 6 months, but she's exhausted because she's just doing it. It's all for free. She's not, nobody's paying her.
Yeah. That's a great question. So it's like in a platform like that, where there's just so much free content available and obviously the work that you do, you build a fan base. It's not so much about like this only one scene. They want to see different things. Do you still get the guys that are like, well, you did this and this is free and it's basically the same. So same.
Always. Yeah. And people are like, well, I could see it for free on Pornhub. Why would I do this? I'm like, I mean, I go to fucking Pornhub. Like, I'm not judging on that. But like what you get on the other platforms is just so much more. And it's so much more real. Like, I'm making custom videos specifically for people. You know, I'm saying their name. I'm doing what they want. I'm wearing what they want. They can send me the outfit they want me to be in. Send me the toy they want me to use. You know, like they can... You write a fucking script and I'm making their movie, you know? So it's just a totally different thing that they're getting. And a lot of people just don't really understand that. And to each their own, that's, you know, ignorance is bliss. And we're here to teach them what it really is, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's why there's some people like yourself making money off of it. And then there's other people just doing a ton of free content.
right. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, and they don't, I mean, that's all fine and good as long as they don't put that on you. Like, it's not like your responsibility to, or your bit, you know, like if they go, well, why would I do this? You don't even have to answer that question. It's like, ask yourself that question.
I know.
Why would you?
the question comes all the time. You'd think that like somebody would kind of be like, all right, you know what, they continue, they dish. They're professional dishers.
The comment section fucking murders me, and I know everyone's like, don't read the comments, but I like to interact with my fans, so the comment section for me is like a way to like get their feedback, and if they have more questions I can answer them. But then I also see all the shit also. You just have to avoid it, you have to avoid it. I'm like, easier said than done, you know? Like,
yet it's still there.
You have a thousand positive things and the one negative. You're like, I have old hands? Really? Fuck.
Yeah. That's what they noticed out of all of it, you know? Yeah.
Why were you looking at my hands? But that's... So I, for whatever reason, decided to like argue with somebody last night that would commented on a bit of mine just pretty briefly, but they're obviously like a bit of a kook. And I'm like, what am I doing here?
It's hard not to though. And yeah. then like when you know you've pissed them off and then you're like, oh, now I got to wrap up, you know,
that's what happens. Yeah. You get the slightest bit of satisfaction when you troll the troll, you know, like that's what it comes down to. Yeah.
Well, and I ultimately try, like what I typically do is kind of go, like I'll ask questions. Amy Miller, who you might know, is a very funny comic. She does this a lot to men who talk trash to her online. She'll just ask them like really pointed questions like, oh, why is it that you think that you said that to a woman? Or why is it that you, or how do you explain that? And like, and they kind of get like, and eventually they often get to the point of like, well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. You know, whatever. They'll apologize. Kinda.
Cause they don't have to explain their behavior in most scenarios. You know, they just get to be a dick and go on with their happy lives. No.
Yeah.
People normally call them on their bullshit, but.
Exactly. I got a taste of, I need to take a shot. I mean, that is.
Oh, what am I doing here? I know the whole thing was like, you guys were going to drink on the show. I was like, well, I was like, I don't have to drive the rest of the day. So I'll fuck it.
I was going to, I have a Botox appointment later and they said you don't drink before. So I'm going smoothie. It's important.
That's fine.
It's important.
I would do the same thing if I were you.
Yeah.
That's like, that's like you would, if it was Legally Blonde, remember how she like caught the girl because she knew that she couldn't jump in the pool because she had just got a perm.
Yeah. Perm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that'd be like, you like that could be like,
that's girl code.
You didn't drink because you had a Botox appointment. So I know you weren't out drinking. Or
yeah, it's a lie.
Exactly. I get these. So what I do is I'm a MVP gold 75K on Alaska Airlines. No big deal. so I get just airplane shots for free, but I don't drink. So I go, hey, can I get a double vodka soda? And they give me two of these. And then I sometimes will have a little bit, but I don't do a double vodka soda. So I have like 100 of these in my house.
Nice.
You're storing up the free liquor. I like it.
Yeah. I actually, back in the day, I dated this major league player and he would fly me to all these away games and I would do the same thing. I would stash those little bottles. And at one point I had like an entire cabinet full of little airplanes.
Love it.
When people would come over, I'd be like, do you want vodka or whiskey or tequila?
Yeah. They're already served out. Yeah. No, no time to think.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah.
I got a taste of, so Ada Rodriguez, very funny comic, LA. Mm-hmm. I'd booked her for a show that I was producing up here in my area, just north of Seattle. And so on my socials, I put a clip of her Netflix special. And it just so happened to be a clip where she referenced race, just kind of in passing. And she was wearing these really short shorts and she has beautiful long legs. Mm-hmm. And so now on my socials, I was getting all of the comments and seeing them for her, directed at her, because people are dumb and they don't know who they're talking to.
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh baby, your sexy ass legs. And I was like, thank you, sir. You know, like, right.
Me. I know.
but it was almost 100% of the comments were either you suck, your legs are insanely hot, or you're a racist for saying that. And she's Latina and was speaking about her stepdad who treated her poorly because of her race. And her skin color, that was the reference. Because she was too dark for his liking.
She was making the comment about her stepdad being racist towards her. People are calling her a racist. Seems stupid. Well, she is a female, so
she doesn't get to Well, yeah, we won't get too deep into politics, but there's a certain side that likes to call folks racist for talking, discussing racial issues.
Right.
Well, that's not racist to discuss racial issues, but all right, we'll leave it at that. That's not what this podcast is about. But I got a taste of it and I can't imagine when you're being as vulnerable as you are and you're putting probably stand-up clips out. I did not partake in either one of your work in advance, just to be, I don't know, respectful, sometimes, or I don't know.
He likes to, he likes to, you know, just kind of know who we're talking to.
It's a little more like typically I'm just like scrolling through their Instagram. I mean, I know I follow you on Instagram, but I didn't like go to X videos and look around. But we did meet briefly. You may not do you remember? Okay.
All right. I don't remember where, but I do know we have met. Like, and I know it was at a comedy show. I couldn't tell you where the show was. Does that
make sense? I got you. Okay. Because it was, so we always do this just because it's like, it's not to put someone on the spot, because it's a fun, like, do you, because usually it's a strip club and I'm like,
yeah,
I remember. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's a million guys. And I'm like, yeah, or exactly. They're like, yeah, no.
Were you white and wearing a hat?
I got to wear the headband into the strip club. Maybe I get remembered.
That would work actually.
But they're usually, because a lot of time it used to be before we had the wonderful Nikki, it was hey,
who's smoking hot, by the way, Nikki. Oh my god, you're an Instagram. I'm like one of your biggest fans, by the
perfect
way.
Perfect. Yes.
when you see me liking photos from 6 years ago.
Oh, it's fine, totally. Yeah. That's okay. What I did. Well, I to be honest, I didn't I wasn't aware of what you did until I talked to Corey, and I was going through and I was like, okay, all right, yeah, these are really hot pictures, like real professional. And I was like, okay, wait a second, she knows what she's doing. Yeah. This isn't like, you know, let me bust out my ring light for two seconds. And I was like, yes, okay. I was like, I know what's going on here.
Oh, it's funny. But yeah, so it was a Ha Ha Comedy Club, a showcase show, which I'd say most of the, I don't know a lot, but most of the shows are. Why was I in town? I can't remember, but it was my buddy Chris Bowers. He goes by Bowers.
Yeah.
He always wears like a glittery blazer. And
name
his
sounds super familiar.
Wife. He used to run clubs in like Midwest, Indiana, Indianapolis, stuff like that. And sweet, funny guy. And then Andrew Rivers was doing a set on the show, and you were doing a set on the show.
Yes.
And so tonight you met.
Yes.
So now you met Andrew, who's my best bud. So, and that was that night.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
The dots are connected. Corey is now this is, now he knows that you know him.
But I missed the whole show, and the kind of the way that club's set up is that there's like a whole bar and kind of cafe where people hang.
Yeah.
So missing the show is not abnormal. Comics
are normally just in the bar. But yeah.
And I don't even remember if I was there in time for the show, whatever. And then I don't know if this is ironic, but does this meet irony? But we ended up going to a strip club that night, which is funny.
With me?
No.
I was like, wow.
You're like,
wow. I was like, wait.
Okay. Yeah, you got up on stage.
Right. No, that would not happen.
So that was when we met, and then just so you know, it's obviously, I don't know if I even had, I probably had the idea of the podcast at the time, but probably didn't have it at the time, or I would have tossed out the idea. But
that was way pre-pandemic. It had to have been
it was. And we this is often talked about, so we won't go deep into it, but I used to have to kind of like slide into DMs or just ask in person. And you know, obviously women are gonna be a little bit like, all right. So now I have Miss Nikki to
I take that over now.
Do that for me.
And it's much more.
Yeah, much better.
Yeah.
Even like I went to it's way better. And so I just at the time knew, I know you do stand up, and then followed you on Instagram. And I was like, well, I know you do modeling, evidently. And I don't know when I sort of connected dots that you is more than modeling the right phrasing?
I love that you say modeling, because that's still what my mother tells people I do to this day. She's a model and a comedian, but I don't even know that she says comedian, because then I think people would follow up with, oh, what, you know, what's her name? And she will never want to say what my name is. So
interesting. But so she knows.
But she knows.
My whole family knows. And my parents have been divorced since I was two. My dad and his family are like huge supporters of me. Like, they're not like, yay, we love that you do porn. They're like, you do porn. You're a grown up. You know, they don't have like, they're not like, we love it, but they don't give a fuck. They're just like, you're happy, you're healthy, we love you.
Right.
You know, that's it at the end of the day. And proud of me for the life of I've created. But my mom, on the other hand, is super religious. And like I said, she just tells everybody I'm a model. And that's where she leaves it, which
but
is
you know, but okay. Did you grow up in LA?
No, I'm from Kansas City, Missouri. So I'm
okay. All right. Cause I was going to say I grew up in Vegas. And so it's just kind of like you become a stripper, like, oh, whatever.
No one even thinks twice about it.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. You know,
I'm from a super small town. And my mom is really religious. Like they teach Sunday school and shit like that. So, they just live a different life, but we agree to disagree. I still talk to my mom, like, at least once a week. You know, when I go home, I still see her. I still call her. It's not like we hang out and chit chat. Like I do with my dad, like my dad and I are best fucking buds. Like I get home to Kansas City, like I leave on Thursday to go back for the playoff game. But when I get home, it's like, my dad always gets in trouble. Cause we are like, want to go to the bar? Do you want to go to the bar? Like me, my dad just like sneak off and like go have fun all day, and then his wife is like, "Where the fuck have you guys been?" We're like,
"That's great."
Yeah, I'm just at the bar.
We've been bar hopping.
That's great. I can relate. I'm a recovering Christian, and you know, just trying to make better life choices, and here we are. Yeah, and I haven't fully flipped, but I mean, some people who I don't know,
Corey, you sold a dick picture. You kind of,
you joined our side. Yeah.
In so far as I was never really like, it wasn't my family, you know, it was just me all by my lonesome. Well, me and friends in high school choosing it ourselves because, young life is a thing where you guys are from, but it's like an outreach group that's like kind of cool and high school kids do it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, I already don't do any of these things that
might as well just save myself.
I'm already not having sex and drinking and doing drugs. So I may as well hang out with the kids who also aren't doing that. You know,
also same for me, my brother and I. So my mom wasn't religious when we were growing up. If anything, like we were always trying to ask her to come to church with us. And she just wanted to stay home, probably just to have like a little alone time looking back.
Sure,
now.
Yeah.
A woman with two kids might just want some alone time, but my brother and I would go to church Wednesdays and Sundays, Wednesdays right after school. And we would take like church trips and shit like that just because it was like a social thing, you know?
Sure, yeah. And okay, then, how, because this is always fat, how does it go from that to there? Like what's the bridge?
Well, I will say, so once I kind of discovered boys and started dating around like 16, kind of like church camp was no longer in the question. So I was already kind of veering down a different path. The guy I started dating in high school that I dated for almost in my entire, for 5 years out of high, like in high school, he was 5 years older than me. So, and he was doing all the shit. He was from the wrong side of the tracks. So I never did drugs with him or anything like that, but I was drinking with him and I started smoking cigarettes with him. So started going off a little while. And then my brother went to college. And that was the real turning point, is because he came back from college and was like, "I'm an atheist and let me tell you why." And I was like, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Because I feel like it goes one of two ways in college. You either, you know, you're like that, or you're like, you know, Jesus for everyone.
Yes, but he came home and was like, "Let me tell you, sister." And I've always idolized my brother. He's my big brother. So I've always just like adored him, and anything he says is gold. So when he said we were atheist, I was like, bet, we're atheists.
No, no.
Like, what do I need to know about being an atheist? You know? So
I was ready to let it go.
Do we go somewhere on Saturdays? And he's like, yeah, the bar.
We are alcoholics now. No. No, he was an alcoholic for a long time. My brother is actually sober now. So I mean, it only took him totaling 5 cars. So
that's fair.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, I got my first DUI at 42, about 6 months ago. So I know. How do you do it these days?
I got my first and only DUI at 30. And now I don't, like, I legitimately will not get in a car with, like, if I've had one glass of wine, I'm like, I don't even like that. But two, there's no way. Like, I just won't get behind the wheel of a car.
The consequences worked. Eastern Washington is super conservative, and they just are like, they were like, oh, on my side, on the west side, Seattle-ish, the people who I met with over here to do some of the things I have to do were like, oh, wow, your first one and you blew what? And I was like, both cops. No, bad joke. But, and I told them what, and they were like, oh, this is insane. And like, you clearly don't have a drinking problem. And this was a golf trip with your buddies and you just made a dumb. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, wow, you got hammered. you got really nailed. That's what's on our, yeah, on our highways. But anyway, so
do you have to have a breathalyzer? Not great. Do you have a breathalyzer? Yeah,
I have to have an interlock
device. One DUI and you have to have a breathalyzer now?
The state that I got it in, which was Kansas, is a zero tolerance state. And yeah, I blew super low also. I had a misdemeanor DUI. And actually I thought I was like, I had quit drinking like 3 hours before I ended up driving home. Cause I was like, I do want to drive home tonight. So let me stop drinking. I had some food. It was like 3 hours, watched a whole fucking movie. And I was like, I think I'm good. I got popped for doing 10 over. Cause the speed limit dropped from 70 to 60 and I had my cruise control set and they were sitting at the fucking 70 to 60.
Dude, that's such a weird thing in like the Midwest. Yeah. That happened to me when I was in Texas. The sign was like, it's 70. And then at dusk, it goes to, what the fuck is dusk? you know?
Yeah. So I got popped for speeding. And then of course, like I wasn't even like mad because I had honestly, at that point in my life, I was bartending and I was drinking at work. So I was drinking and driving pretty much every day of my fucking life. Like I truly felt invincible. So getting that DUI to me really was like, wake the fuck up, girl. You're not invincible. Now you owe a shit ton of money. Like that DUI, I honestly accredit it to how I got into porn is because I got it the week I was moving to LA, like the same week I'd already like, my apartment was done. I was already packed up. I had already signed my lease in LA. My car was packed, like the whole nine yards. And so when I got that DUI, all I had to move to LA was $16,000 that I had saved up. I had an apartment that I knew I could pay for 6 months. And I had signed a 6 month lease. I had no job. I had nothing lined up other than that apartment. So I was like, I'm going to be a comic. Like I'll figure it out when I get there. And then I had $4,000 after that DUI because all of it went to like legal fees and like keeping myself out of jail. Like I was, I had nothing when I moved to LA and I got two jobs right away. I worked for a construction company doing their books during the day and I was bartending at night and I had no money. I was like, my rent was $2,000 a month, which was more like my rent in Kansas City was $600. So like the comparison was like so far out of my reach, like having to pay for parking was a thing here. Like I was just really out of my element. And I had a friend come stay with me after like 2 months of me like just really struggling. And she wanted to do porn. That was why she came to LA. So she stayed with me in my studio apartment where I had no furniture. My bed was legitimately towels rolled up for a pillow and towels on the floor because I couldn't afford anything. And she came out and stayed with me. I saw her make 10 grand in her first week. And I was like,
all right, yeah,
I'm going to do porn. And yeah, I was, even if it's just for a little while, like I told myself like 2 years, get myself on my feet. And so I immediately called my parents before I did anything. And I was like, look, here's the sitch.
I'm really like living here. It's just not affordable.
I was like, I legitimately can't afford to feed myself. I was like, or I could go do this and this is what I'm going to do. And I flew because my mom, of course, had the hardest time. So I flew my mom out. I took her to my agency. I took her with me to go get tested. Like I kind of like showed her the ropes of like what it was. So she didn't think it was just like me going into a seedy basement with some guy with a handheld camera, you know? Yeah. So just showing her that it was like a real thing. And then she was like, yeah, what else was she going to say? I was 30 years old, you know?
But, so like, that's very fascinating because obviously most girls get into porn when they're very young and they have absolutely no head on their shoulders. And that's not to discredit to them. They're just, you don't know who's taking advantage of you. You don't know what this is worth and sort of thing. So do you almost credit the success that you've been able to have because you got into it a little bit later?
1,000 because I worked in corporate America. So I worked in hospitals. I worked 4 years in cardiology, 4 years in chiropractic. So I had to be at work at 6 a.m. every day.
You know? You have discipline. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was like structured. I knew what it was like to have a schedule and be rigorous. And at a hospital, if you have to be at work at 6 a.m., you have to show up at 5:45 because, you know, on time is late because you have so much to prepare for before your first patient gets there. When your first patient gets there, at 5 a.m., you know, or at 6 a.m. So, so having that and coming into this, like I'm always the first person on set. Like there's never an item missing out of my bag that, you know, I may need. Like I've shown up to sets and producers are like, do you have lingerie for this girl to wear? I'm like, she showed up to a porn set with no lingerie. Like what? Like little things just don't make sense.
Right. Right.
Just having any kind of head on your shoulders, having like any sort of checklist or execution, like I'm OCD anyway. So that's those types of things.
Exactly. No.
Having structure and like knowing that this is a job. And also I think some of these girls don't realize what an advantage they're getting in life by making this kind of money that early. I always tell people my last year working in the hospital, I made $70,000 and I thought that was amazing. I made $70,000 in January masturbating in my fucking living room, you know? So it's like totally a different world. And I don't think that they understand how lucky they are and how valuable this is. If you really treat it like a fucking business,
right? Right.
I can never make this money anywhere else, you know?
That's the same thing with stripping. I wouldn't say that it's like, well, I guess I would say it's like jaded you to other situations where you're like, I know my time is valuable. And even if somebody wants to look at you is like, oh, well, it's like sexual. And it goes, well, I mean, it doesn't matter. Still my time, you know, somebody pays for it.
Yes. Any little thing, you know, it's funny because a friend of mine the other day, he's been trying to get me to like hang out, like just to hang out. And he's nobody I have sex with or anything like that. But the other night he was trying to get me to come out and he was like, I will literally pay you. And he was like, not that I treat you. He's like, not that I want to see you like that. He was like, but what I'm saying is I know your time is valuable. And I was like, I like that you know that. I like that you know that.
That's great. I think that there's a similar thing of like, I relate everything to stand-up, right? And so stand-up starting at 19, 20, 21, all sorts of issues with that, that, you know, it's hard to make it, first of all. But starting like I did when I was like 29, like I already had a day job that was really like super, super secure. And I was able to, because people are like, wow, you just stopped teaching high school and started stand-up. And it was like, well, no, there was a progression. And then there was, you know, there was a divorce. And then there was a year of leave of absence from teaching while I still substitute taught. So it was just like this slow, like,
well, it was like calculated almost. It was a mature way to enter into, whereas, and nothing to discredit anybody below 25, but you just don't know anything, you know, you hit 25, you think you know everything. And then you hit 30 and then you're like, I don't know anything. And I really didn't know anything.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and it's like open micers versus baby strippers, maybe, like where you're like open micer might just be like, whatever, this is fun, it's great. And like, I am approaching it where even from the beginning where I'm like, well, how do I make this viable? Like, how do I do this to make some money? And how do I do this to match my life that I want to live, not just be a thing that I do as a hobbyist, to create a social group for myself. Like, I'm fine. I got friends. I got, you know, a job. How do I make a little bit of money out of this? How does this become a thing that's, so everything I've ever done in comedy has been with that sort of mindset, which could hurt the art of it a little bit. You know, there's the other side of that coin is like, I probably don't produce material as fast as I'd like, or as frequently and proficiently as I would like.
Being a perfectionist can definitely hurt.
But
spin out. Yeah. I learned a long time ago, you just got to let things like go, even if you don't think it's perfect, like, and just put it out there and you'll be surprised with what other people think is you being perfect. You know what I'm saying? That is like one of my most valuable lessons is sometimes I'll post something and I'm like, oh, that was so stupid. And then it goes fucking viral and you're like, oh shit, people loved that fucking thing I thought was so stupid, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Or I'll spend like an hour really putting together a thought, you know, and like try to make it so intellectual and like nobody will watch it, you know?
They'll
nobody,
be like, yeah. Nobody gives a shit. Yeah.
So how does that go? Did you move to LA with the intention to do comedy? Did you have any intention? Okay. Yes. Yeah. So that was the starting point and it's kind of gone hand in hand.
Yeah. So honestly, okay. I had been doing stand-up in Kansas City for like a couple years, but when I say doing stand-up in Kansas City, that's not like there's two clubs, you know, so you're doing open mics,
right.
But I knew that I wanted to pursue it because I knew it made me so happy. So the move to LA was 100% for comedy, no plan of anything else. The porn only came in 3 months in to supplement me, you know, not wanting to do comedy because I wasn't doing any comedy when I was working those other two jobs. So when I got into porn, I was like, oh, I'll just make enough money to support this. And that's, it's funny how you would talk about, like, you always talked about making money in comedy. Sorry, excuse me.
It's all right.
That's how I felt about porn. Porn to me was like always just like a hustle game because it was always a way to pay for me to keep doing comedy. And a thing that really helped me in the beginning of being out here in LA is, you know, a lot of like these little shows that'll pay, you know, $50 or whatever. I would always just tell the people like, keep the money. I don't want the money. I just want to come do the show. Like, you don't have to pay me. So I've done nothing but free comedy, you know, for years and years and years, just because I was like, I just want the stage time. And adult allowed me to do that because I had the income where I was like, I don't need your fucking $50. Keep it. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I'm trying to get the experience.
Yeah, I just want to be on the stage. Yeah. So I got me on so many more stages than I felt anybody could have put me on, was just walking up to people and being like, you know, this is a $200 show. You keep the money. I'll do it for free. Just put me on your show. And they were like, oh, how often do you want
please.
To do that? Yeah. All the time. Yeah.
How does that go? Just from like a person's standpoint, not even being in comedy versus being in porn. I'm sure first time on stage comedy, your butterflies. Is that the same way doing a first shoot for porn? It's like, you're like, all right, we're going in, you know, sort of thing. You get like this nervousness. You think about things that you do all the time, you're like, now it's like riding a fucking bike, who cares, you know, but it's definitely, I'm assuming there's parallels in that.
Yeah. So let me first off start by saying that every single time I do a comedy show, I want to throw up. Like,
okay.
There's never a time when they go, you're next, where I don't go, oh, cool. On the outside, I'm like, cool. And then on the inside, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
you're going to have to talk to these people now. Do you remember anything you were going to fucking say, you dumbass motherfucker?
Yeah. So who am I following?
That's funny.
My very first porn set, I was like nervous as hell. But my best friend, the one who came out to stay with me, she was in my very first film. So it was me and her and one other guy. So it made it a lot easier that she was there with me. So that was my very first porn experience. But now I've been on so many fucking porn sets and I know everybody in the industry that it is just fun. Like, I love showing up to a porn set. It's always I'm high energy. So when I'm on set, it's high energy. I don't know what other porn sets are like, but when I'm there, it's a fun, it's a party and everything's like, everyone's having a good time and laughing and joking and there's naked people walking around and it's just, it's fun and there's never nervousness whatsoever.
Wow. It's so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Comedy feels like that to me, except for the naked people walking around.
Yeah. No, comedy is still fun for me, but it's comedy's fun for me when I'm like three jokes in on stage and when I'm three jokes in and they're laughing, I'm like, okay, you can do this. Like, it comes back into my brain of like my confidence, but the moment they go, you're next, to three jokes in, I'm just like,
anxiety. Wow. Yeah, of course. Sure. I have, there's definitely, you know, certain scenarios make that happen for me as well. And then there's some that I'm like, that's not, I mean, like, not even worried about it, but, it is, it's so interesting to hear you say how much more comfortable you are doing the porn.
Fucking people.
Yeah. That is, That's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels in these situations, though, because even you talk about stand-up versus porn.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the talent in stand-up in LA is absurd. I'm sure there's so many, but I'm assuming so, same thing with the porn scene. So do you have the same sort of like, how did you make it to where you stood out in porn, which then I'm going to assume kind of like goes hand in hand with the comedy? Like, do they boost each other? Is it kind of like something that you're like, oh, hey, I do this and I do this, you know? Yeah.
They 100% boost each other. So it's funny because my kind of buildup was ping pong between the two of them. So I had been doing like stand up in LA. And then once that little 6 month lease I had was up, I couldn't afford to stay in LA. So I moved to Vegas to save up money again.
Yeah.
So I was doing open mics in Vegas and still doing porn. And Jay, oh my God. Jay, he's now married to the Lakers. Somebody, the owner of the Lakers married.
Oh, Jay Moore.
Jay Moore. Thank you very much. Jay Moore had seen a porn of mine, hit me up on Twitter, asked me to do his podcast. And so I went and did his podcast. Enrique, who used to run the Laugh Factory, used to run the Improvs. He's run a lot of comedy club, but now he's a consultant for HBO. He heard that interview and was like, oh, I've got offered me a show to do the improv, which I had to book the whole show myself. He was like, you can headline, you can feature, you can host, you can do whatever. And I had like 5 minutes of comedy at that point.
Yeah.
So I had to then go out and like headhunt to go find like somebody who could headline for me, somebody could feature the show. And then I hosted it. And that was like my entrance into real comedy, was him giving me that show at the Improv. And then ever since, Enrique like really helped my like comedy career. He was like, I've always been your biggest cheerleader. I'm like, oh, so that's exactly it. Is porn helped this to comedy? And then it's just ping back and forth. And the fact that I get to be like a porn star comic, and there's not a lot of people who do the both. And I'm the only one who started in comedy and went to porn. Mm. So everybody else was doing porn first and was like, I have funny stuff to talk about. Let me do this.
Right, so, right.
It's a nice niche, you know, and
yeah, that's very interesting. So then, we'll talk in a minute about sort of what the intent going forward is with stand up. I'm very curious, or just comedy in general, because stand up now means you also act, you also do podcast, you also do whatever. But your current, you talked about porn sets, but your current porn set is your home.
Oh,
is that right? Basically,
yeah.
And so. Yeah. People are so intrigued, I'm sure, and interested in knowing. And I mean, you already talked to money, so maybe you're not uncomfortable talking about that, but just the logistics of how that works. You you create, you know, you have an OnlyFans and people started following you because they came from Instagram. And then what's your business model on OnlyFans in general? Like, I know there are a lot of different ways people approach it. So those are kind of the curiosities I have.
Yeah. So, I think most of my fans for, OnlyFans really came over from like my porn stuff. So
yeah, interesting. Okay.
Luckily already had like a big base there. Instagram, obviously, TikTok is a big like follow over as well. That little hashtag explore is a good one. If you ever need that, Nikki, by the way.
Oh, TikTok, interesting. Okay.
Hashtag explore basically means go like put my name into
anything,
you know,
yeah,
Google or OnlyFans or whatever. So that basically tells them like you do other stuff that you just can't tell them.
Say them. Yeah, exactly. Because I know, because your Instagram page, it is not, you know, like you would go to it and like it looks like you model, it looks good, but you're not like, I mean, you see some girls and you're like, why would I go on OnlyFans? Do you see what I'm saying right here?
Yeah.
Like,
it definitely transfers over. And I don't want to get banned on anything. So I try and like ride that very line of like not being overdone in any way. And this is a little off topic, but there for a while, my brother was the one managing my comedy stuff. And so it was like, oh, my brother has to have like access to all of this stuff. Poor brother, you know?
Yeah. So
I'm like just trying to keep it like as clean as possible, because my brother is the one having to like go through all of this. But it didn't work out, he no longer works for me, but
gotcha. It's probably better just to be the brother.
It's better just to be the brother. I lost track. What was the other question?
So you started your OnlyFans quite a long time ago, did you hop on early? Did you pre-pandemic get on? When did you,
I had an account, but it wasn't really doing anything. Mm-hmm. It was like maybe making me a couple $100 a month. And I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it. But right before the pandemic hit, I was very, very lucky to be chosen to get to do this Hulu documentary. It's called Selling Sexy. And in that documentary, they highlighted 5 different people in their OnlyFans accounts. And I was the only female porn star that they highlighted.
Oh, wow.
I just happened to have been nominated for MILF Performer of the Year the day that they came to film. So that was like something that they put into the series. So when that released, which was in February of 2020, right as we were going into COVID.
Oh, my God.
Nothing else to do but be on their computers. That... I tell people my income quadrupled, like, and it very instantly like changed my life. Like, give them so many props for that. Like, I just recently did a Real Sex HBO for the same producer and a Vice series for the same producer. And I've done all of it for free because I'm like, what you did with that Hulu documentary and changing my life. I was like, I will do any documentary you want all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the return
sign me up. Yeah.
So fucking worth it. Yeah.
Did you need me to pay you $1,000?
Yeah. Yeah. I will pay you to put me back on TV. What do you want? Yeah.
Well, I hope you're prepared for the stripper whisper bump that's about to come. Yeah. I mean, it is. We get dozens of listeners. So
tons of Corey's.
Yeah.
So then you at that time you were like, okay, well, now I have to like put some focus into this account and this page and make a decision on how I'm going to. Focus. Yeah. And so you have a monthly subscription, I suspect.
And then messaging is paid. You buy custom videos. You can buy panties. You can buy Skype sessions, all sorts of different things. Yes.
So now that you have built this base on OnlyFans, is doing actual porn, is that just kind of not even worth it at this point? Is it, or is it just kind of almost like novelty? Like somebody maybe is like, oh, I really would like to see you in another movie, you know, or some dude, you know, it's, I'm sure the whole fantasy behind who's asking for these, you know, that, like you said, that the fantasies can get very like, it's their fantasy. So sometimes I could imagine somebody's like, I really want to see, you know, I don't know what kind of production goes on, but they're like, do I hire the mailman or like, do I film it in, you know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think working for companies, mainstream companies for me now, it's still a bonus because you're still getting fans of theirs that you wouldn't necessarily have. You're getting their new viewers who don't know who you are. And I really, honestly, because I make way less going to a set than I do staying at home.
Right.
Far, far, far less leaving my home than I do staying in it.
Right.
When I go to a set, it has to be a crew I love. It has to be other people that I love working with, my other co-stars. Like, I'm super picky about who I work for. I'm super picky about who I work with. So if I'm going to a set, it's because I know I'm going to have a good time and it's like a promotion, you know, it's a cheap promotion that I'm getting for the day to go shoot for this company. That's exactly how I view it now.
Okay.
Wow. That's,
Okay. Well, I mean, then this has to be, because you did mark the things has to be people you like. And I think that this is a question a lot of people have for people that do porn. I'm assuming you still enjoy your sex outside of porn, you know, that's a bit like, it has to be something to where you're like, since this has become a transactional thing, which I mean, whatever, make fucking money however you want to, you still have to ask yourself, do you still enjoy your own personal romances and things like that?
It's funny because everybody always asks that question and I always come back. I'm like, don't chefs love food when they don't cook? You know what I'm saying? Like,
definitely.
I'm like, I fucking love it. Like, I truly love sex. I get turned on by fucking a breeze of air. Like, I'm in my late 30s. Like, I am in my like peak sexual era, you know? Yeah. So I love it. And I love porn sex because like I'm a voyeur, so for something about like having people watch me really excites me. I love the fact that like we're making a movie for other people. Like all of that is a turn on for me.
Sure.
And I like being with new partners, but personally in my own sex life, I love not having to worry about a camera being there.
Exactly.
Have slow sex, you know, getting to like make love, getting to be man blanket by a man, you know, right. Like in porn, I'm obviously usually the star of the show. So it's me doing most of the work and we're opening up to a camera and all sorts of things. I want to make out with somebody, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. You want the nuances.
Yes. Like I want the slow sex. I want to make out. I want like just the intimate moments. That's what I love about like real sex. Not that porn sex is not real sex, but it's a performance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's theatrics. There's, you know, there's fluff, I guess you'd say to excitement. Yes.
And people are not love acting sex. Like I love porn sex also. Like that's what I think people don't understand is like, it's still sex. I'm still getting a dick inside me and I'm getting
right.
really, really good dick with a guy who knows how to use it. So
are
like,
there, yeah. Are there fluffers? Is that a real thing? Is the fluffing thing?
No.
Okay. All right. See Corey. Corey's like, sign me up. But can I be the fluffer?
There's that whole storyline in,
and it might've been real back in the '80s. I'm not going to say it, but nowadays nobody's fluffing. Yeah.
No nobody's fluffing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All right, Corey, it's out for you.
All right, I'll stick with comedy
and naked pictures.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't forget the naked pictures.
I'm in. I mean, I need a fluffer to send a dick pic. So, maybe I can hire somebody. That's not so bad.
There you go.
And then so with stand-up, if you've mostly done LA shows, it sounds like.
Yeah, and, LA, New York mainly. Yeah. Yeah, I've done some Midwest tours and some you know East Coast tours, but I stay mainly in LA. But yeah.
Yeah. So the road is like not currently really in the cards for you in stand-up. I mean, there's no like it would be such a pain.
I'm traveling with some other comedians this year. So I'm going to do some away shows with them, but I don't really have, cause I've done tours like where I've headlined as the tour.
Yeah.
And the turnout isn't what I need it to be for my ego. So until it is, I'm going to just feature for other headliners. So,
okay.
Yeah. And in that realm, does most of that, it's just easiest for it to happen in LA. I'm assuming it's like a hub. It's easier to kind of just be like, oh, okay. So-and-so is coming here. Hey, I'll do this, you know, sort of thing.
Well, I'm signed with the Laugh Factory. So, you know, I give them availability every week. And then the Comedy Store is like where all of my best buds hang out. So anytime I go to the Comedy Store, it's like, do you want to do this show? Do you want to do this show? So I can literally walk into a club and be like, hey, I'd like to work on this day. And they're like, okay. So, you know, it's easy, you know? It's so like, it's the pulse of this city. I mean, there's comedy clubs in every fucking corner. There's comedians everywhere, you know? So it's like, it's a big community of comedy out here.
Yeah. Stop me where I'm wrong, Sylvia, because I haven't done a lot of LA comedy in New York, but I've done a lot of road comedy. And then I guess, I mean, Nikki's comedy is not as, you don't know it as much. And then listeners maybe don't know anything, but like the improv, Laugh Factory and the Comedy Store.
The big ones,
The big clubs in LA and the Comedy Store has three rooms. Yeah. And they're primarily like you're going to get showcase shows where people do 10 to 20.
And the Laugh Factory is what I love about the Laugh Factory is it's 20 minute spots. Everybody's 20 minute spot. So that's why I love being signed with them is they give you the most like stage time.
And that's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot of time for a showcase show or for a city like New York or LA. And then if you were to do a typical show in a different city or any club, it would be host, maybe a guest spot, host doing like 7 to 10, guest spot doing 7 to 10, feature doing 20 to 25 and headliner doing 45 to an hour. Mm-hmm. And so like on the road, that's where I typically go to and do those kinds of shows.
Yeah.
And then like in LA, there are all sorts of folks who like Sunday or Monday through Wednesday are doing these showcase spots. Mm-hmm. And then if they're people who tour the A rooms or theaters, will go out Thursday to theaters. They might just be like, they might be doing weeknight shows, like a Bert Kreischer or something is doing, right. You know, like any day of the week, he could do a show and sell it out. But like the A room, B room headliners are going out Thursday through Saturday or Thursday through Sunday to headline. And what Sylvia is saying is like, she'll be the feature act or middle act, preferably maybe on some of those shows or locally or on the road, as opposed to the ego thing you were talking about, where like you're the headliner who's in, you know, responsible for selling tickets.
Yeah.
And is that doing how that goes?
Yeah. As you're like, when you're doing your, I mean, that's on you. You're like, okay.
Usually as a headliner, you have two options for payment even. So they have like a base pay you can get if you don't think you're going to sell out that much, or if you think you're going to sell out, you'll want to take the ticket sales.
Right. Exactly. So
they have two different options as a headliner. I don't have, even though I have millions of followers, it doesn't translate because my followers are mainly for my sex work and not for my comedy. So when I do a show, the ticket sales don't translate into my following, you know?
So does that dictate how you are now kind of pushing, I would say, both businesses? Like, did you have a goal for comedy that you were like, I want to get to this, and now that it's kind of shifted to where you're seeing that porn and this kind of is way more lucrative, has it kind of just shifted to where it's like, well, this is now where my focus is, and comedy is this thing that I'm like, this would be nice, you know, but maybe that goal isn't that big of a deal anymore?
No, comedy has always been the number one goal.
Like, okay.
Forever and always. Porn was always strictly a financial means to make comedy happen.
Sure.
And I feel like I've done like all of the big things that I've kind of wanted to do. I'm going to film a special this year. So once that hits, that will, you know, really kind of catapult things. At least I hope, you know, that's my hope. But I just got to do like Netflix is a joke, you know, like just being able to like, you know, be a headliner in comedy.
Yeah.
Such a huge pat on the back to anybody who ever, you know, started out doing open mics and being a nobody, you know? So I've got to meet all of like my comedy heroes, like literally every single comedy hero that is still alive. I have gotten to like meet and have conversations with and like hang with and smoke weed with. And like, I already feel every day like I live in a fucking like dream world. I have this,
let's see the cat.
Attitude journal.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to show me the cat. No, I was like, wait, let me see the cat.
I write in this gratitude journal every day, and it really just is like the life that I've created. Like, this is stuff I used to dream of as a little kid. Like that,
I could only imagine coming from small town. Sort of. Yeah. It's different. You know, you're like, wow, things in life like are obtainable if you just push. You know, if you push for it. Yeah.
I just am so thankful, and I love everything I'm going to do. Being signed with the Laugh Factory, like, and like so many people have to audition so many times to get signed at the Laugh Factory. It's like a big accomplishment for a lot of comedians, and comedians will wait outside to audition on Tuesdays. I never even did that. The Laugh Factory called me, asked me to audition, and I was passed on my first night. So it's like little stuff like that where I'm like, this is like, you know, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So
love it. Yeah. And stand up is so interesting in that way of like, okay, so the translation, like my friend was the Bachelorette for a season and she wants to do stand up, and she wanted to before. And I like the route she's going. She's doing a great job at it, but it does translate because, she's able to like create a show called like, she's going to give comics a rose, like, so she's going to produce a show. She's going to host it. She only has to do like 10 and she's going to like give the winners roses. And that's the whole premise, but she's already sold out like a room on a Sunday night because, it does translate. And so that is interesting that you're, no disrespect to her, but she's brand new. So you're way stronger comic. Yeah, the if you're watching on video, Sylvia's showing her pussy. and cat. And so, I mean, you're clear, you're, I mean, you've been doing it for a long time. You're a much stronger comic. You have way more material. You have way more followers, actually, probably. But it just, that's so interesting. It just doesn't quite translate. So do you have any in, like, I mean, I don't know if you see an end of the road to OnlyFans or porn, because I don't like to assume that people will ever stop.
Yeah.
But if you do, have you, like, I mean, there's a world where your OnlyFans could become part comedy, part. If you wanted it to, but that might, turn off some people and go, what the fuck's this shit?
Like,
but
what the
whatever,
hell, man,
like,
last
so,
week.
It's funny that you say that, because I think a big reason that my numbers don't translate over is because I don't have a lot of comedy out there. And I, for the longest time, I always thought, like, I'm doing myself a favor by not putting comedy out there, because no, you've got to come see me live. And, you know, like, I thought, like, that was like, the thing to do. But now I've been talking with a lot of people actually about doing that comedy special and releasing it on OnlyFans exclusively first, and trying to see, like, what that turns over into. And because people are constantly asking on my OnlyFans to post comedy. I just haven't recorded, you know, anything that I felt like was good enough to, like, put out there. So that's why
that would be such a good niche, like, sitting in your living room naked,
right,
doing comedy. Like, I mean, you're just, you know, in the mic. I mean, that's
the naked,
you know,
special.
Yeah,
that's, right? I mean, oh my goodness, that's like, you know. Yeah.
Well, and you're, I mean, the world of comedy now, which Sylvia knows, and I don't know, I always wonder what people know, you know, like, there's people who are famous in mine and Sylvia's world in stand-up that I mention, and people, like, I mentioned Bert Kreischer 5 minutes ago, and he's like the most famous stand-up comedian in the world almost. And I know people who are like, I don't know. Right. Oh, you don't even know who we're talking about. Yeah.
Funny.
If I described him, you might, but really we won't describe him. It'll gross people out. But, but it's clip based now, you know, it's bit based and clip based world in stand up, and every single comedian and their mom are putting out on every social,
right,
9x16 clips with captions, and getting millions and millions and millions and millions. I mean, the millions of views and followers from it.
Yeah.
And it's totally the opposite of 5 years ago, 4 years ago, where it was like, no, you can't put everything out. You gotta hoard it. And so, but that's great. You'll film it. Do you have a location for this? But do you have a plan for it? A place? Yet?
I don't have a place planned. Yeah. I have, like, my videographer and everything like that. Uh-huh. I pretty much have, like, the special already in my head.
That's exciting. I love it.
Tried to record the special a few months ago in Kansas City, but when I told you my brother was working for me, he was the one in charge of recording, and he didn't get the audio. So,
oh no.
So yeah, that's why he no longer works for me. But yeah, also, we didn't get the special recorded. So
okay, well, that's in the, so it's not in the can, but it's ready to be in the can.
Yeah,
that's,
it's really pretty cool. Much ready to be in the can. Yeah.
So you said you don't have much out there, but I people are going to be curious now. They're like, so can we go to her YouTube and see a clip at least? Where would you send people if they wanted to?
Yeah, I actually I have a SylviaSageComedy.com. You can find a few clips on there also.
Perfect.
Yeah. Then there is one pinned on my TikTok as well.
Okay. So we'll make sure that's in the links, that link's in the comments of all of this. And I think we really covered it all.
Yeah, thank you. So, I mean, that was answered a lot of questions about a lot. I hope that as people listen, they're like, oh, look at that. You know, I think a lot of fan base, they just, like you said, they just want that personal sort of, and sometimes I think that people don't even know the questions that they want to ask. So thank you for being so transparent about
that. Neither do we.
Exactly. I don't know.
I'll say that's really great. Are you married? People are gonna want to know.
No.
Follow
I have Sylvia. Two cats, certainly not married.
yeah Follow Sylvia on Instagram, the Sylvia Sage. Twitter and OnlyFans are both Sylvia Sage XXX. TikTok, Sylvia Sage 3. Sylvia Sage Comedy to maybe see a clip, see where she's performing. And that's, yeah, very exciting. And then follow us. Nikki is, it's, I always say it, she is tattooed.
And she is tattooed. If they can't spell tattooed, that's not my problem.
She is hot. I'm so excited to be following your Instagram.
Yes, yeah, thank you.
Very hot. I am disgusting, but you can still follow mine. It's Corey Michaela's Comedy on all of the things.
Not the same kind of photos.
Yeah. It's all right. He, you know, he's only got fans pics if available. You wanna, yeah.
There you go. For the right price. And $750 is what it ended up be. $200 an inch.
That's
oh boy. All right. So then you can follow me on all those things and come to a live show. That would be in the intro to this episode where my live shows are. Thank you so much. Great having you. Hang on for a second after we turn off the video, and bye, everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.